Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our theme for Vacation Bible School a few years ago was called God's Great Rescue. In it, we learned how God rescued mankind from sin, death, and Satan by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus, to pay for the sins of the world by dying in our place on the cross. Now, a great example of rescuing others is perhaps quite subtle. Those who do not have the mind of Christ certainly will not see this. God the Holy Spirit guided the Apostle Paul to write these words in Galatians 6. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Have you ever thought about how important these words are? Or how they may match up with today's gospel reading, in which Jesus says, judge not, and be merciful, and to forgive, and to give, and also to first remove the log that is in your own eye before removing the speck that is in your neighbor's eye? Have you ever thought about how important it is to come to the aid, to rescue, if you will, those who have been caught up in sin? Often we want to just dismiss the situation. Maybe we even dismiss ourselves, figuring it isn't our business, or God says not to judge, or maybe we figure, well, that person believes in Jesus, so it doesn't matter what that person is doing, because all who believe are going to be saved, right? Or maybe we figure that God's ways have changed since the Bible was written thousands of years ago. Now, Paul doesn't teach us to come up with all these rational excuses for not getting involved with other people who have been caught up in a sin. Instead, he says, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. That, of course, comes by showing the person his sin and then revealing to that person the forgiveness of sins when that person repents. Now, in today's gospel lesson, Jesus teaches us to judge not. And so today we will consider that and our role in helping people who are then caught up in a transgression. As we faithfully carry out God's word, the Holy Spirit is certainly at work to rescue sinners from their sin and to grant them the salvation that Jesus earned for all on the cross. I'd like to go back to that theme from God's Great Rescue for a moment from Vacation Bible School. Part of our intention for having that particular theme was so that rescue personnel can visit with children and so that they can teach the children how they help and even rescue others. We wanted to show the children that medical workers, firefighters, and military members, and police officers are all people that we can trust, for their aim is to help. But if we look at some of the things they do from the surface, we may think that they are not so helpful. But then if we dig deeper, we realize they are. For example, if a firefighter breaks a window or pours water on a home that is filled with mementos, well, it may look like from the surface that they're just breaking things and destroying stuff that we love. But that's not what they're doing. Instead, what they are doing is they are saving property and lives. Or if a medical worker applies a tourniquet or amputates a limb, from the surface it may look like that that person is just doing something gruesome, but that person is actually not trying to ruin that person's life, but instead to save it. Or when the police arrest criminals and issue tickets for petty crimes, It's not to wreck that person's life, but instead to help that person and also to maintain a peaceful, orderly society for all of us to enjoy. Sadly, even before George Floyd died, many children have thought that the police are the type of people that we are to run away from rather than to seek help through them. Many falsely have the impression that the police will lock you up if you just go and talk to them. And that anger and resentment towards those who work to enforce our laws has certainly heightened to the point where some cities are seeking to do away with police departments. Now, of course, if there's corruption, fix it. If there are bad apples, work on correcting them or weeding them out. But don't wrongfully judge all of law enforcement as being corrupt or racist or whatever buzzwords conveniently suit an ideology that would send us straight to anarchy or perhaps even Marxism. Sadly, many have similar views about pastors, that God sends pastors to just make people have a stifled and miserable life. But instead, God raises up pastors, ministers, after his own heart to shepherd his children. Even though God does this, many sheep do not share with their shepherd their challenges in life, or they don't go to their pastor in times of spiritual anguish, or they will absolutely refuse to confess their sins to their pastor. Now, why would that be if God sends pastors and they are sent to help? Well, just as many have false impressions on how the police treat people, so also many have false impressions on how pastors treat people as they engage in God's work in the cure of souls. Many prefer to avoid making use of pastors in the church because they figure that pastors and churches are just busy out there judging. But when people figure this, they are actually making a false judgment against pastors and churches. And this is a snare of Satan, because the devil wants you to feel like you are always separated from your pastor, and thereby you are separating yourself from the means of grace. Do not fall into that trap of the devil. Pastors are sent by God to serve God's people. In curing souls, they must diagnose sin by the law and apply the proper salve of the gospel. It is their duty and obligation to prevent sinners from living in carnal security. And it is also their joy and privilege to comfort those who are troubled with their many sins with the good news of Jesus Christ. The aim in all of this, to warn through the law, to absolve through the gospel, is the salvation of the sinner. This is how God's word is applied to our lives. This is how God utilizes the means of grace to apply the forgiveness of sins which Jesus won on the cross, so that this forgiveness is applied to us sinners today. But when people will not allow themselves to be treated the way that God would have it, and instead avoid the church under the false pretense of pastors always judging, then they put themselves on their own path to destruction. Sometimes we come across people who absolutely refuse to receive medical treatment, even though their condition is obvious. Let me use an extreme example. Say you see someone who just lost a limb, is clearly bleeding to death. You say, "Let me call for help," or "Let me apply a tourniquet." And that person says, "No, it's but a flesh wound. Don't judge me. Don't judge my condition. Let me be. I'm fine. I insist." Now, if you obey and do nothing, and that person will clearly bleed to death. In the same way, if you see someone who is caught up in a sinful lifestyle and you do nothing but dismiss their sin by figuring, well, God says don't judge, then you too will contribute to that person's spiritual demise and eternal death. In fact, you have used a measure that God says that he will use then against you. This is a sobering reality. Just as we cannot dismiss ourselves in coming to the physical aid of others, so also we cannot dismiss ourselves in coming to the spiritual aid of others. In the church, you will only find sinners. Look around. Look at the pulpit. You will only find sinners. The same thing is true among the police, in the military, in the government, among those in the medical field. For it is written, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This means then you will also be finding people who will be making mistakes. You will find people who, trying to faithfully fulfill their duties, will end up doing the wrong thing. Many are forced to make split-second decisions that turn out to be decisions that are not the best. So then how do we treat them? Jesus says in today's gospel, be merciful. Jesus tells us in today's gospel, judge not, condemn not, forgive. Jesus says, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. In this gospel reading, Jesus teaches the famous words, judge not, and he does so for a good reason. Because even though he does tell us to get involved with other people's lives, we who are spiritual to restore people, we are still busy judging in ways that he hasn't taught us to judge. We try to figure out a person's true character by reading into things. We are busy judging by hearing about a crime that has been committed on television and declaring our sentence upon that person. Jesus first says, be merciful. He tells us to be merciful because we do find ourselves all too often being unmerciful. Jesus teaches us not to condemn because how quickly are we when we hear of something that somebody did to condemn? Jesus teaches us to forgive because it appeals to our flesh to hold on to those grudges and refuse to forgive others, or to let things just pile up until there's no more recourse. How readily do we follow these words of Jesus? Be merciful, judge not, condemn not, and to forgive. How readily do we meet those who have wronged us with great compassion, the love of Christ, and with ready and willing forgiveness? I implore you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to impress these words upon your hearts. These words are written in James 1, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Some may call this talk of mercy and forgiveness as being weak, for they have learned through life and through the way things work in this world that boldly standing up to others, threatening lawsuits or other forms of vengeance, is the only way to conduct themselves in this eye for an eye world. That is not the way of Christ, nor is it the way of a Christian, nor is it to be the way of an American citizen. The founders of our country knew that the only way to enjoy liberty and freedoms that we have is to practice a strong sense of morals. Once these are gone, then so go also our liberties. When theft and vandalism are downplayed as protesting, we are hurting ourselves. Some will say, well, Jesus, did he not say, judge not, and therefore I'll just stand by the sidelines? Who am I to tell these protesters not to steal from businesses, destroy buildings, and tear down monuments featuring American history? Our Lord's words here never give license to sin. It's never what Jesus means. Remember again what Jesus said, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your neighbor's eye. First, look at yourself in the mirror. Plead guilty of your sin. Recognize that you have much amendment to do. Work on it. And when you see these things and are working on them, then you can turn to your neighbor, which Jesus is commanding you to do, to remove the specks from their eye. You see, Jesus is teaching you to remove your neighbor's specks, but not blindly or hypocritically. He is teaching you to look at yourself in the mirror. He is teaching you not to point fingers all the time. He is teaching you to, as the Eighth Commandment also teaches, to put the best construction on everything. Now, if you feel that you have been so righteous that you have no logs in your eye, that is, you have little or nothing to confess before God, then I have to say this, you are deceiving yourself. You are that very person whom Jesus is warning to refrain from judgment. You are like that younger son in last week's gospel who left his father's house to live in reckless living. For you are unable to see the logs of sin in your life. And instead of running away from the law and its accusations, you must heed them. Hear those divine pronouncements of your sin, so that the Holy Spirit will lead you to repentance and therefore thereby prepare your heart to receive the good news of Jesus Christ. And in all of this, then, God is working mercy. And if you are weighed down by the burden of your sin, if you see your sin always set before you, and as you confess your sin to God, continually yearning for Christ's forgiveness, then know that you are the type of person God wants to work at removing the speck from your neighbor's eyes. For you are a Christian, crushed by the law and brought up by the good news of Jesus Christ. You are like that younger son again in last week's gospel who came to himself, as Jesus said in Luke 15, and then went back to his father to confess, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. You trust in Christ and his all-sufficient sacrifice on the cross. You treasure this forgiveness of sins, and therefore you want your neighbors to also have that same forgiveness. And if this describes you, praise God, for you are a disciple of our Lord, shaped by his word and conditioned to face the many challenges in life with a firm trust in the Lord and with the promise of his mercy. Jesus himself is mercy, and therefore he went to the cross to pay for the world's sin. He shed his innocent blood on our behalf, and he now covers us with his very righteousness. In his mercy, he forgives us. In his mercy, he judges us. Not guilty is how he judges us. So he judges us not that we are guilty, but he judges us that we are actually innocent. And he treats us that way. He also does not condemn us because we are judged innocent. He has given to us immensely by giving to us his Son and the forgiveness of sins. Having been blessed with this type of mercy, we then in love serve as a blessing to others by being merciful, helping them see their Savior, helping them see their sin if they're caught up in it, so that they can be restored in that spirit of gentleness. This is what we do as God's children, and we rejoice in having this mercy and being merciful to others. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.